Shut up and sit down.
Let's go play on our bicycles.
Yeah!
All beautiful people are listening to the Dialed Podcast with Matt Legrand, Evan Price, Lance Hepler, and Jake Von Turing. Tip of the day: an inch of time is an inch of gold, but you can't buy that inch of time with an inch of gold. So, get off your butt and make good use of your time, preferably on a bike.
Did you mean for all those words to come out together, or did they just fall out randomly?
Hi, and welcome back to the Dial Podcast. I'm sitting here with Mr. Evan Price.
Oh, wow, I go first here? Well, this isn't cool, because it's usually like a what's up, ladies and gentlemen, or like
Usually Lance Romance. Lance goes first.
What all right, so I'm going to ask, what are we all eating here right now? Because mostly I'm just going to answer this. Well, Matt's not eating anything.
Did you look up the restaurant? Is that what you were doing?
No. I'm trying to find it. So this is just my intro. I had a wonderful little Hawaiian leftovers here from a restaurant in Portland that I will be looking up and texting Cassie to remember the name later in this podcast.
In Portland.
So stay tuned to find out what Hawaiian restaurant rocked my socks this last weekend.
Rocked your socks.
It was delicious. It was really, really good.
You went this weekend into Portland and you got some good grub.
Yeah, because we had to exchange a pair of pants at Lululemon, and when in Portland, why not go and get food?
Decent.
Exactly.
Sitting to his right, Matt Legrand.
What's up, ladies and gentlemen of the internet?
Oh, nice.
I'm sipping on a sparkling water from Kirkland, our former sponsor, that failed to pay their bills.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And last but not least. Who's that? Hey, is your phone working? Oh, there he is.
Who is it?
Oh, who's this guy on the other end? Mr. Lance Hepler.
Yes, it is. It is the Lance Romance. I am sitting in a hammock on a beach on the Big Island of Hawaii. Yes, that is correct.
Wearing your banana hammock, right? In your hammock?
I am.
Isn't that kind of meta, right?
I'm not wearing my banana. You know what's interesting?
I don't even have a banana hammock on. Oh, my goodness. What is this podcast rated?
Are you even in Hawaii, then, if you don't have a banana hammock on?
So, Lance.
I don't know. I'm at a public beach in a hammock. Yes.
Describe to us what you see right now, freaking jerk.
Well, this is interesting. I am looking at the beautiful white sand. My wife is sunbathing at the moment. And there is a guy in the water right now with a pool floaty. He has his paraplegic dog resting on the pool floaty. And he has been sunbathing his paraplegic dog for the last half hour out in the little bay. It's quite adorable, actually.
Okay, as long as his pants are on.
Nice.
Yeah. He has a sun hat on, and then he has his dog laying on the pool floaty, trying to give the dog a little bit of joy, it looks like, and it's working.
Oh, so. That's nice.
That's very sweet.
Yeah.
This is positivity with the Dialed Podcast.
So, some positivity instead of nudity, we're going to have positivity.
I'm trying to make this a little bit more PG rated.
Awesome. All right, let's do some backpedaling. Evan, I'm going to start with you, bud.
All right. This last week, we had a lot of rain. Like, so much rain this last week.
Yeah, we have.
An uncomfortable amount of rain this weekend.
There was a break.
Yes. And then Saturday, Sunday comes around, and all of a sudden, it is cold. Which is very cold, but
which
it
is
was
a shame, because you probably were taking a little bit easy for your big race.
Yeah. So I like doing off-season running races because it keeps me motivated through our long off-season in the triathlon world, which is becoming shorter, luckily, because if you go warm enough, you can race in December. But there's still like a four-month gap there between races. So I jumped into a road 10K that I did last year, the Resolution Run put on by Whisper Running and Dave Caldwell, who they put on such a good race. Dave is so awesome, too. he's so, like, the kids are excited to go and work there. Whisper Running is a local running team, mm-hmm. Youth running team that is the reason, part of the reason, in my opinion, that we have developed such really good youth running in this region, Vancouver specifically. Portland absolutely has had good youth running for a while, but it's really fun to see Vancouver also putting up really fast high school times. It's this Dave guy that absolutely drives that forward, and also a Matt guy from Camas, some weird, you know, niche cross-country program and some guru coach out in the
Go Camas.
The Camas region.
Go Camas. Yeah,
go Papermakers.
I want my kids to do Whisper Running because I really like that program.
Yeah,
I think
it's a great program.
They're good people.
Dave keeps it very fun for the kids and really focuses on just enjoying running, which these days for kids with any activities, I just want to see them enjoy it. They've had a rough last 2 years, and just seeing kids get into enjoying their sport again is good, and Whisper does a great job of that. So, you know, obviously being an adult around this race, me and some other adults go and ruin the fun of Resolution Run by trying to PR a 10K. So we had a decent amount of quick guys actually there. It was a couple post-collegiate guys. Myself, Jake Stout, who is very fast, and Josh Mondo were there, along with some people I coach. Big shout out to Scott Macbeth, who had a big PR in his 10K, or not PR in his 10K, but PR over a while. It's been a while since he's had his PR.
All those people that you mentioned, but there's also some seriously elite people like Cassie.
Yes, I was going to say. So
dropped a big PR.
Cassie dropped a 2.5 minute PR over her 15K because she likes to run longer than shorter, which most people wouldn't understand, but she likes the longer. So
can't run with her anymore. She's
I know.
Too fast.
She was moving 8:20 pace for 15K. She's really getting fit right now, which is awesome. And coming off of a break, really, which was great to see. So John Hoffman out there too PR'd his 10K by a lot. We'd have to look back at what his previous 10. He's getting faster and faster, which is great.
Good people.
Yes, exactly. Carlos and Colleen out there trucking through a race too.
Sounds like the whole gang.
Yeah, the whole gang was out there in the freezing cold. It was very cold morning. Sunny, but very, very cold. And the course was a little bit icy. So I'm just glad nobody hit the deck, to be honest, because it was icy enough to where you're like, oh God, if somebody really hits a wrong patch, this could go bad. So we went out, you know, mass start, and over a 10K, it's going to, in a field like that, it's going to break up decently quick. So we kind of broke up into me and Jake, Josh and Joe. I forget Joe's last name, but he's a local, really, really good high school runner going into his high school senior year. Nicholas Marty with them, and then the rest of the pack behind. So Jake and I went out, and I was on pace for what I wanted through the first 2 miles.
Were you leading? Was he on your back?
Yeah, I led. Yeah. Jake's smart. He knows I'm dumb. So, he's very smart, experienced runner, former All-American, very, very quick pacer, too, locally. Kind of a Portland...
What was your first mile?
Portland mile stay. 5:04, I think. Mm. And then 5:06-ish, I think. 5:07. Mm. And then the wheels came off, because that's where the first hill came.
Was your warm-up okay?
Yeah, I didn't feel good, like, at all. I didn't feel good all week, to be honest, running-wise. So... Biking's been feeling great, which is unfortunate because it can never happen with two sports.
You need to go sub-5 in the first mile. I know it sounds fast, but I know that you hit the wall hard.
This is where there's going to be the Twilight 10K on the track that Dave's putting on coming up.
That would be perfect.
That's where I'm training for the Vancouver Lake Half and the Twilight 10K kind of together.
When is he doing a track meet? That seems like
I think it's in March, early March.
Okay.
Yep. So that'll be fun. And once we know the day on that, will be advertised on here because it'd be a lot of fun for anybody to come out to.
Yeah.
There'll be pacers and the 10K will be fast. So, but then, you know, got to the turnaround and Jake was smart and on the hill, just knew that my legs were starting to go. So he blew past me. Felt good, but respiratorily, I could not get my breathing under control in the cold. I was feeling very, very out of breath, and then we hit the turnaround, and actually I settled back into like 5:15-ish pace, but couldn't change gears, and just the breath was not there. So came in at like 32 mid.
Good time still.
Yeah, good time. I think it was like 15, 20 seconds off my PR from last year, but my PR from last year, I had done a big run build going into that, and I have not had a big run build till now, so that's what the next month and a half is for. So it was a good starting point. Josh had a big PR. He went like 40 seconds faster than last year.
Wow.
He was moving, like really paced himself well, had a strong run.
He's just fit. He's fit.
He's getting fitter and fitter.
That
he really
full
is.
Ironman didn't slow him down.
No, we have big plans for like 2024 or 2025. We're going over to Norway and racing Norsemen and Josh.
It's a 5-year plan.
It is. We're on our 3-year Norseman training plan right now. Right there with Lance's 40-year cyclocross plan. But yeah, that was basically it. It was
that
fun.
Doesn't work, Evan. Just so you know, it doesn't work. I figured that out.
Yeah, I rode twice outdoors Saturday and Sunday. Saw Jake on our drive back from David's because our water heater broke. So I took a shower at David Goodman's house after our ride.
Oh, I was wondering what you were up to.
Because I rode after the race over to David's, and then we are hopefully getting the water. We tried to fix it ourselves yesterday. That didn't go well. So we got somebody who knows what they're doing coming out.
Did you hit it with a monkey wrench?
I just turned everything off, turned it all back on, thought I could take out the thing we need to take to drain it, and it was so stuck that my weak physical therapy hands were not able to get it off after trying very hard. So,
bummer.
Yep.
That's the last thing you want broken right now.
I know, seriously. Cold showers.
Cold showers make you tough.
They do.
They toughen you up.
That's what I was telling Cassie. I was like, why do we need to fix this? Why don't we just why don't we just stay tough?
Cassie. Poor Cassie. Hey, Matt, I also ran on Sunday. And I didn't go to the race. Ethan didn't want to go for some reason. I was like, oh, I don't know. I thought he might be up for it. But
it was chilly.
It was icy out there. I actually stopped and like carefully walked through this section that was like downhill ice section.
Were you on the road or trail?
It was trail mostly, but then there's this one section where you kind of like come around and it's by the boat ramp and it's just ice.
Oh, was that straight ice? Yeah, there's a lot of water.
The way that I hit it, like I came around and hit more road and it was just like downhill and ice. And I was like, oh, glad I'm not racing in these conditions because you just could hurt yourself.
To be honest, the super shoes don't do too well on icy roads. So I know that probably gobbled up a second, but it was... I was just glad nobody went down there because it's a straight, fast course. So, yeah, ice is dangerous.
Ice is bad. Other than that, I got dropped in the Zwift group ride on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. I made it halfway, I think, and then got dropped pretty quickly. It was that hill each time we went up.
Oh, yeah.
What was the hilly route of Zwift? I think, and this is what I was thinking when I was doing that. I was like, I think that this route when Zwift first came out was just called Zwift.
Yes.
Yeah. That was the original route.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's cool.
You can also do it reverse, and that was about it, right?
Reverse. I think you probably could do it reverse when it first came out. I don't remember.
Yeah, that's actually a route that's fun to do. I think it was Hanel coined what did he call that? The double triple crown, if I'm not mistaken. So it's got three jerseys that you can win. Yep. You can do the whole route. You get the orange jersey for that. There's the KOM section to climb.
Yep.
And then there's the sprint section. So you can get that. Those three jerseys going one way, and then you get those three jerseys going the other way. And the goal is to go out and get all three of them both ways in one ride.
I need to do that. That's a great interval workout.
I've done it once. It was hard. I had to do it a little bit later at night, so there wasn't so many people on there. But
time it right.
Yeah.
It's supposedly Tuesdays are the most popular days on Zwift.
Oh, really?
And it's something like 6:30 and like
just after work hours.
GMT time, not our time. So,
but that's close.
And supposedly they're breaking records right now because, I don't know, it's wintertime. And I think your populations are bigger in North America and it's wintertime here.
Sure.
And then you've got like...
There's more people on Zwift
England
in general,
and things
too.
Like that's big.
Yep.
So, yeah. So I think that they were saying also with Tour de Zwift kicking up that they'll probably break more records.
Wow.
But it's... Yeah, numbers are up.
That hilly route KOM too during a high traffic time. Some of those times at that, you're like, what in God's name? Like, what did somebody just like? I mean, I know that Z Power is a thing on that, but was it a group of 100 people went up this like flying?
No, you've got people that have got calibrated issues with their power meters.
Because I've seen numbers as low as like 118 going up that, which is insane. That's like 800
even
watts.
People on our own that come and join our own ride will join sometimes, and their power meters just are way off. Or they're just using a speed sensor on some nondescript trainer that's a fluid
trainer. Yeah.
And, you know, they're just cruising along at like 4.5 watts per kilogram, and they probably can't even put that out.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, that's no fault of theirs.
No, I always feel bad for people with that because it's like, oh, yeah. But you realize that you're like, this is not going to be a good workout.
There was a flag button, though. You should be...
There is a flag button?
Yeah.
I don't know if there was. I don't know. Oh, there probably is at some point in time. But
probably.
Other than that, I did some swimming. Yeah. And out.
Out.
There we go.
Hey, Lance.
Yeah.
What you been up to?
Living the
dream. I rode something like that. I did ride on Zwift all week long last week as well, except I did manage to get out for one, like, 60-mile Saturday ride outside where I went with a couple local Vancouver people, a couple teammates, the Kritchkos and Joe Hamilton. So I was able to get outside for a little bit. Then the plan was to come over here to Hawaii and get some big miles in here. And I, you know, flying sucks right now. It just, it sucks. With the Omicron kind of building there, people are calling in sick all over the place. So flights are delayed or canceled. Here we are in Hawaii. My bike has not made it here yet.
Oh, no. Oh, boy.
So even though our flight was delayed like an hour and a half leaving, for whatever reason, my wife's bike box made it on the plane, but mine did not. So I'm still here kind of waiting for hopefully my bike to show up. Otherwise, I might just be I'll do some swim training. No, I won't do that. I will I'll just sit on the beach all week instead. If it doesn't make
it. Is your wife not going to let you borrow her bike?
You could rent a beach cruiser.
Yes, I could. There's actually on the Big Island, there's plenty of places I could go rent everything. But all like my helmet, my shoes, all that stuff in my bike box.
You don't need that. Yeah.
So I'd have to rent all of it, which, you know, it's just a hassle. I could do. But
give it one more day and then go rent.
Maybe.
Have they given?
Go
ahead.
No. Well, yeah. They told me it should be here last night. Like it was going to make it on the next flight, and the next flight wasn't coming in till like 10:30 Hawaii time, and I was passed out by 9 p.m. So, we went up and checked today, and there wasn't even like an Alaska Airlines employee in the entire airport when we checked today. So.
Oh, wow.
So I'm guessing that it will be on this flight that should land in about an hour. But if it's not, then, you know, you just roll with the punches and you figure out something else to do. And I don't know.
Do they at least know where your bike's at for sure? Or is there a chance that it's lost?
When she checked last night, she's like, oh, yeah, it's coming. But it looked like there was about 15 people that didn't get their luggage on the same flight. So whatever happened at the Portland airport with the Alaska baggage control, I believe that it was staffing issues. A lot of people are calling in sick right now.
Yep.
You know, a lot more people are getting the Rona right now, but they're not getting as sick. They're just sick enough not to be around anybody. So it's creating issues, especially with the airline.
So I think that you should invest in the Apple AirTag system for all of your luggage needs.
It's a good idea.
Is that what's on your keychain right now?
Yep.
Oh.
Yep. And I put them in luggage when I travel, which is not a lot right now. But
that's really smart.
Yeah. And you can see your luggage and see where it is.
Smart.
That's a great idea.
Yep. Yep.
Exactly. For next season.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm.
Cool. Wow, yeah.
I mean, I guess if you hide it on your bike, too, then it's that bike, you know, you've got that security there. So, but then, you know, that's your bike thing, and then you put it in your other luggage, too, if you check any luggage. So,
yeah.
Well aren't they, they're coming up with, like, new issues with the Apple AirTags where, like, people will, like, drop them into people's purses or coat pockets to try to track them from the bar to where they go home or whatnot.
I've got one stashed on you in your banana head.
That's scary for me and Matt since we frequently go out on the weekends.
That's true.
And we are stunningly good looking. I think somebody might drop something in my purse. Yeah. That is terrifying, though, if you think about it. God.
And I think that's why I think they're trying to create something where it would make some kind of tone after a while so that people knew they were being tracked.
Yeah.
That's
smart. Apple had some security stuff built in, right?
That's
right.
But it does that, but I think it takes like 3 days to activate that. I think it has to like sit there and not do anything.
The scary thing is that's enough time for them to know where you, that night, then they know where. Yeah. Just never go home. That's all that you can do.
Right. Well, it would tip off. Yeah. It would sneak tip off a thief.
Yeah.
If a thief if a thief stole your bike and it started toning, you know, after 4 hours, it would tip off the thief too. So I'm not sure what the solution is there yet, but they haven't.
Maybe to buy one of these, you need to get like a background check. You know, like to buy one. They're like, how creepy are you? And they can just take
on
one
level of 1 to 10.
Yeah, be like, oh, but according to
your mustache. According to your mustache, according to the mustache, you are not eligible.
Are for sure not buying this Apple Tag, but
they're never gonna sell me one.
Or these days, if you're just a male that goes to bars, you're like, nope, you do not get this.
Lance,
do you ride bikes? Okay, yeah, you're fine.
Speaking of mustaches, how is the facial hair situation? That's the most important topic of the.
I still have the ridiculous, very thin mutton chop all the way to my sideburns at the moment. I have not taken off all the facial hair, and I'm not sure why. Beautiful. I haven't done that yet, but so I still have facial hair.
Basically, yeah. Mustache that goes down and around to like the beard, but all the chin stuff is shaved.
Yeah,
it's almost got like the strap that comes down in the sideburn area.
That's correct.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I think
for those who don't know what a mutton chop is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is mutton chop talk.
It's stupid.
With the Down Podcast.
Whatever ridiculous thing you could think of that's on my face, that's what's there. So.
Gotcha.
You cool. know, kind of going for the you know, the Lord of the Rings dwarf look.
Oh, that's a great reference.
A lot of women are attracted to Lord of the Rings.
Ooh, I'll tell you what, Gimli was. I think Gimli was considered at one point the hottest character in Lord of the Rings.
In comparison to your height, how big are your feet?
Do you carry around an axe?
That's a hobbit. That's a hobbit.
Oh, my bad.
Matt, God, come on. This was really on the Lord. Thank you, Lance, for correcting him on Lord of the Rings talk. I appreciate that.
Yeah. That's embarrassing.
A better joke would have been, how much gold do you have hidden in your mountain? You know?
Yes.
Yeah.
True.
God.
Wow.
Price.
I would have expected more out of your nerd. Like
nerd credit. Hold on. Let me turn my nerd card in.
Turn
my nerd card in. Yes. Revoked.
I was obsessed with Lord of the Rings as a kid.
Were you?
Yeah,
that
absolutely.
Awesome thing to be obsessed with.
Love it. Cool. My back pedal is, you guys have all kind of already hit on that thing. We did the team ride. That was.
How was the end of it? I didn't.
Evan destroyed everybody.
I saw him. Oh, no, wait, on Tuesday?
Yeah, Tuesday ride.
I'll be honest, I was on some rare legs Tuesday. I was very surprised by the numbers I was seeing.
Drugs.
I don't know what happened. I did a lot of EPO on Sunday, and all of a sudden Tuesday was like great legs. But
good.
I think we finished like 20 seconds behind you or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
David was making some funny jokes, though, that my just sprints on Zwift. So I have now won the last two sprints. Josh was contesting the one before, but I beat him for sure. I went to the photo, and I smoked Josh. So by like probably an inch in the Zwift world. Josh is very strong on Zwift right now.
Yeah.
But so I start my sprints at like 60 seconds, and my top power maybe touches 700 watts.
Okay.
So I just hang in the 600s for like 60 seconds.
Go long, yeah.
So I was telling Dave, I'm like, oh, my sprint. I start here. He's like, and Dave goes, he's like, Evan, anything in the 600s is not a sprint. He's like, that's like Filippo Ganna's like 10K time trial power. I was like, all right. So I start a moderate attack from 60 seconds out because I know that I have zero top end power.
Gonna break them before they can even get to their sprint.
It's basically just a cheat code on. So I think if you start 60 seconds out and get ahead, it's harder to bring you in at that point.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I'm still trying to. I'm not where I normally am. My power's still kind of creeping up. I'm still trying to find my fitness from doing that whole stupid 500 one day thing, and it's probably gonna take me a couple weeks to kind of get that ironed out. So I wasn't really expecting to be able to hang with you guys, even though like that shorter the shorter stuff, that sub 2 minute climb stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think I can hang with that. If it goes beyond like 4 or 5 minutes, then there's no way that I can keep up with you. You're just too damn light and your watts per kilogram is too high. But on that rolly stuff, I should be able to hang. And I just don't have that right now, but it's going to come around.
That's a good, Hilly Road's a great course for kind of a leveler between guys like me or Barna.
Yeah.
And you and like Nate Scott's of the world, which is those higher power guys.
Yeah. So, you know, and we did that. By design, nobody really knows that, but I needed intervals. So guess what? We're going to go do 6 repeats of this whole circuit, and we're just going to do it. So sometimes some of these routes are a little
great
bit self-serving. But so that was a fun ride, and we had a boatload of people there. That was fantastic. And then I think it was Wednesday, if I'm not mistaken. I got to go back and double check, or maybe it was Thursday. Anyway, one of those 2 days, I didn't ride my bike. I decided to hop on the row machine. So Nate Scott let me borrow his Concept 2 row machine because it's one of those things that I've been kind of doing some research about, and I'm trying to figure out ways to strengthen my shoulder and find a little bit of balance there and do some stuff that's not going to injure it. And really, it's like my shoulder doesn't work at all if I get my arm at or above shoulder level. I can't even get my arm above shoulder level, but at shoulder level, it's not good. But if I am rowing, that's a range of motion that I can still work on. And he let me borrow it because he's not going to be using it for a few weeks. And I wanted to try it out. So
he's been pretty consistent on his rowing over the last year, I think. Yeah,
something to that extent. He uses it pretty frequently, but he let me borrow it because he's not, you know, using it, and he knew that I wanted to look into it. So I went ahead and did a session on there, and you know, it was only 500 or 5,000 meters, so my time was like 22 minutes on there just to get that 5,000 meters done, which is like that's very novice. I mean, for that amount of time, but I haven't done anything like that with my shoulder. While I was doing it, I felt okay. The next day, I was a little bit sore. The day after that, oh, good Lord. It was just god-awful. But it's not the delayed onset muscle soreness that you're accustomed to. It's more of like, yeah, it hurts, but like there's this burning nerve pain throughout my entire shoulder. And I got on the bike to go ride on Saturday, and I got 20 minutes into the ride and said, nope, going home. I literally had to shut it down because it was screaming at me so bad. So I think my full ride getting home was like 40 minutes, just terrible. I was so upset. I'm like, this is freaking ridiculous. And we were supposed to go do a ride potentially on Saturday.
With Lance, well, I yelled at you on this Saturday, by the way. I saw you guys. I thought you were with him.
I was by myself on the gravel bike. Okay. I wanted to stay close to home because I knew my shoulder wasn't feeling good. I wasn't sure how it was either going to like rally and was going to feel great, or it was going to be one of those things where I need to be close to home so I can go home. And it was the latter, unfortunately. So anyway, we were talking about doing a team ride that morning, but the weather was kind of like, was threatening some rain, and it was still kind of cold, and I'm like, I don't personally feel like doing that. And it looked much better for Sunday, even though it was cold. The sun was going to be out, so I went ahead and just said, you know what, just put it out there. If it's going to work, everybody will show up, and I'll go. And if it's not going to work, I can just say, hey, have a nice ride, and I'll just go home. And I went out there and did that, and 4 Advil later, and you know, some good prep work and some stretching, and I was able to get that ride done. So that was a good ride yesterday.
That's a good sign.
We did 60 miles. I think I was 60 miles right on the button, and about 52-54 miles into it, Ian hollers up to me, Ian Gibson with us, is like, hey, can we zone to it for the rest of the ride home? And I looked down at my normalized power, and we were like 50 some odd miles into it. My normalized power was 308. So for that ride, so my legs felt good, and my shoulder, masked by Advil, a lot of it, held up. I mean, it was sore and stiff, but it was masked enough to where I could do that ride. So that was nice. That was a nice boost and a nice little vote of confidence for me. So
how does the shoulder feel today?
Sore.
Does it?
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to go back and
take it easy today, and then
not riding today because I'm back to my routine. I'm going to actually go and row again, but I'm going to keep it really light, and I'm going to shorten it up a little.
Intervals, I think, is going to be your bet. It just needs a blood flow and nerve block break. So like I would do like 2 minute, when I say burst, quote unquote, I mean like the pace you were trying to hold for that 5K.
Yeah.
Give yourself 30 seconds in between each one, back into it, back and forth like that, probably 6 or 7 reps.
So what? Not just fully stopping, but just like go really easy and then go hard for.
Yeah. And you could even rest and go legs. I mean, like just kind of let the arm hang for that little bit. Yeah.
And for how long you think?
I think 20 minutes total.
20 minutes total.
Total. And how many interval sets? Rest. Probably 6 by 2 minute.
Gotcha. I'll give it a shot. I'll let you know.
Yeah. This is, as we were joking with Jake when me and Cassie were driving back too, this was the Lance fallacy too of
all in
this. Well, and this is why I realized with a lot of endurance athletes, and I just did this recently too. So I'll humanize myself here too, because I was dumb recently where yesterday my back was killing me, like bad killing me. Sure. And I was like, what the heck is going on? Was it the breathing from the race yesterday? I realized in the last 2 weeks, I've started doing pull-ups again and long pull sets. So I did like 2K with the paddles recently.
Yeah.
So I haven't been doing that like in ever. Like, I mean, maybe since I was like 19 when I was doing pull-ups. So I had to realize like, delayed onset muscle soreness, that is like bad. Jake's is a completely different story, but still abiding by the same laws of like slow build. Yeah, we can do 10 hours of amazing levels of biking throughout the week, but we haven't done these things before. Sure. So, yeah.
I've been doing yoga for the past whatever day it is, 10 days. Is it January 10th? I don't know what day it is.
Hot yoga in your banana hammock?
Banana hammock, yeah. Sweating. I'm sore in weird places.
Yeah, that's
but I've been trying to be like the opposite. I've been doing like 15 minutes of yoga instead of,
there you go.
Which is pretty short.
No, that's how you start.
Not the I'm going to do everything, Lance. Yeah.
Sweet.
Yep. Same reason, you know, same way how people start biking.
Yeah. Are you doing this somewhere? Or are you just doing it at
just
home?
Just at my home. Yes. Nothing super structured.
In a dark room by myself.
Dark room.
One
by
candle.
One candle. Awesome. It's very romantic.
All right. We're half an hour into this thing. Let's move on. How about them apples? Lance.
Yeah.
Did Champ Bailey fly to the islands with you?
I don't think Champ Bailey came.
Is he with your bike
he's
somewhere?
Lost. He's lost.
Stuck in some plane?
Is Champ on vacation?
He's lost over the Pacific. Somewhere.
Did they cycle? I mean, was there a cyclocross race this last week?
There was.
Okay, yes, there was. There, the
Belgian
the
national
European
champions.
Country oh, yeah. national championships all okay. happened.
Yeah.
I did some tonight to watch then. Yeah.
Yeah, and there is some stuff to talk about. But yeah, Belgium, believe it or not, Wout Van Aert won Belgium, and I believe this is all off the top of my head. If I can try to remember everything, Marianne Vos, Marianne Vos won the women's side. The Dutch national championships in the Netherlands was won by I can't remember the man, but Sonny Kant won the women, mm-hmm. and I'm pretty sure that Thomas Pidcock did not do the British national championships, and I'm not exactly sure why.
I think he's planning on peaking for Arkansas, so maybe it just didn't fit into his race schedule.
It's like MVP's not going to be there. Wout's not going to be there. I'm going to go win some stripes.
Oh, my God, yeah. Yeah.
But, would he be picked to go even though he didn't do his own national championship? That's my question. But I don't know what the question is. Maybe that's a hot seat question for later. But I don't know.
Nah, I have no idea.
So, I had some hot seat questions based around that. So.
Yeah, but I don't think that, Pidcock did not do the British one. So it should be, that as far as, I can't remember any other big results that happened. Am I missing something?
No, that's good enough.
In the triathlon world, there was one bit of news.
Oh, really?
Ari Clow just moved to Arizona to train with Lionel Sanders. That's literally the only news we have in the trial world.
Not
like nothing.
News.
Joe Skipper ran 50K on a training day at like 5:40
Harry
pace with Harry.
I don't think Harry didn't make it. But
Harry hung
5:40
on
5:40 pace.
Yeah, he was just
5:40
per mile pace. 50
per mile
kilometers.
50K.
Yeah,
which
Holy
means he came
crap.
Through the marathon at 2:27. This is a training day too. Joe Skipper is on another level of fitness right now. He's very fit.
That's fast.
It's very fast. Yeah. And
2:27.
Yeah.
Kept going.
So, yeah, that's basically it. And yeah, nothing in the triathlon world.
Awesome. Anything else there, Lance?
Nope.
Sweet.
Camp out, even though he wasn't here to begin with.
Right on. Hey, topic for this week, hot seat.
That's hot.
That's real hot. Who wants to go first?
How many people do you think could name that who that voice belongs to?
I think more than you give credit for.
Really? You think so?
I have no idea. Some.
Actually, the kids do know who she is because she's very popular on social medias now.
Well, she's always been popular on social media.
Yeah, but like on like the new social medias, not like on Facebook.
Oh, is it Paris Hilton?
Yeah.
Is it? I seriously, I didn't know.
I was along with her
yes,
and Nicole Richie. Yeah.
Nicole Richie.
Yeah. What was that show that they're on? I've still never seen it.
They have a show?
This was like a reality show that they did probably.
It was a reality show. Yeah.
Lance, you know this. What was the name of it?
I can't remember it right now.
Dang it.
I don't remember the name of this
People
show.
People are screaming at their speakers right now.
I know, right?
Yep.
It's fill in the blank. Damn it.
Oh, they had some sort of getting married thing, didn't they? Have some sort of getting
engagement. No.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Paris Hilton just got married, and she's been on like honeymoon for like 4 months straight. Yeah, I shouldn't know that either. But
I was going to say, why do you know that?
Yeah. Okay, let's drop the Paris Hilton talk. I'm going to go first.
Go.
Oh, okay.
My question is related to what I already talked about.
To Paris Hilton?
I hope it's related to Paris Hilton. I'm going to nail this hot seat question.
Who did Paris Hilton just marry? No, that's not my question.
I have no idea.
Okay.
I know. I don't know.
We we've all heard the news that Wout Van Aert and Matthew Vanderpool have both pulled out of the World Championships cyclocross. Do you think this is a good move, or what's your thoughts on that?
I don't know. They're so talented that like this is not the end of their career. If you're getting old and you were
If you were 38 and this is like the last one,
then this
is
a bad move.
You'd be like, go for it.
You're like, hey, I mean,
get the fifth vaccine and go for it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that these guys have got a very good chance at doing well in the next season.
Yeah,
both of them.
I think
they both should be vying for wins, not only in several of the classics and monuments, but also possibly they could be battling for the green jersey at the Tour de France as well. So,
and if we're looking at like income levels here,
I was just gonna say that. Yep.
Right. Like, I mean, I think we all have like this spot in our heart for cyclocross, even me. But I do think that like,
I enjoy watching it. It's great. It's not big money.
It's at the bottom of your heart.
But it's not one of those things where it's like you're not going to get as big a paycheck as like winning a green jersey.
Yeah. I mean, it's huge in their countries where they call home.
Big. Yeah.
But the paycheck's not derived from that.
But you know what makes money and actually matters even more in those countries would be winning Paris-Roubaix. So
that's true.
Yeah. Right now, if I was them, which I'm not and never will be, this is where I would say, this is the travel to Arkansas alone. That's a big
interruption
to their training.
Right.
It's two. And God forbid they get sick. That would be a massive interruption to their training.
Part of it.
So, I mean, like, even and not in a pandemic, that amount of travel at the end of a cyclocross season, you might get sick. Like, these guys are always rocking the razor's edge. They might get sick. Yeah, so,
they can't afford to be down for a few weeks.
So, like, just go straight into your classics build right now.
There are certain things with respect to COVID that it really screws you up. I mean, we know people that
hippie edge of elite cycling. Yeah.
I mean, if you have some sort of like lung issue that's going to be
floating
around with you for the next 3, 6, 9, 12 months, whatever it might be.
Yeah.
That's not good.
Yeah. Especially this upcoming season when for these guys, they're entering their peak years. They're coming into their peak years now. So, I mean, MVP especially, he's got this back issue going on right now.
Yep.
I don't think going to Arkansas and trying to have the war of wars with Wout is going to be a good idea. Honestly,
next year it'll be in Europe somewhere. It'll be on their home turf, maybe. I don't know where it is next year. Yeah. But like,
I'm not surprised MVP is not going. I'm more surprised that Wout isn't because he's so fit right now in cyclocross.
But maybe cyclocross is just like a fun thing for him now.
Maybe.
Breaking news.
Oh my god.
Breaking news. Simple life.
Simple life.
Simple life.
Simple life. Yes, that was the name of it.
Oh.
Sorry.
That's the name of her show.
Oh my gosh.
That's the name of the reality show, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yes, thank you. I just looked it up. That was going to drive me absolutely nuts.
Like, now that we know the answer, that doesn't ring a bell at all.
Yeah.
Like, I know nothing.
Matt's radar.
Matt, I know, as I'm over here, like, oh my gosh, that's it. Matt's like, oh, Paris Hilton? Oh, okay,
Paris Hilton.
We're still talking about that?
I don't know what we're talking about. I never saw an episode of that, and it's only on my radar because of a radio station that I'd listened to for, no joke, like 25 years.
In
California.
Yeah. They talk about
K-Rock. I mean, they would talk about that kind of stuff all the time. So
yeah.
And I remember them chatting about that and talking about that and them coming on the radio show. So
it's
back
when MTV was, kids listening. There was a time where you would turn on cable TV and MTV was a channel on there.
Yep.
At one point it played music videos. Then it started playing really trashy reality TV. This was prior to YouTube.
The Real World. It was the first reality TV show on MTV.
When that came out, that was actually pretty good. Yep. Anyway, sorry.
Now it just shows ridiculousness 24/7. I think.
Yeah, that's the last remaining cable TV show.
How much Rob Dyrdek is worth now?
Oh yeah,
it's ungodly amounts of money.
It's like, insane thinking where I literally know where that guy's house was when he was young, and to think that he is like internationally famous now. This guy came from like small town Kettering, Ohio, and to think that he is internationally famous is insane. Ooh, let's take. Hold on, I've got a hot seat question right now. Jake, before you actually look at the number, what does everybody think Rob Dyrdek's net worth is?
Oh, it's hundreds of millions of dollars now.
Matt, what's your guess?
I think it's like 300 million.
I think it's like 250 to 300 million.
Yeah. Okay. I was going to say 200. Matt, what?
Sure. 150.
150.
What do I know?
Matt's going under.
I have no idea.
Okay, let me finish looking this up.
Okay. Back. Wait. Yeah. Are we still on hot seat question with Wout Van Aert?
Okay. Yes, we can.
I'm gonna give a backup question to my hot seat question is if Wout and MVP both decided not to go, is Tom Pidcock making a mistake by going?
No.
Ooh.
No, because
what are his aspirations? I mean, yeah, he's going to get that clout, that notoriety. I mean, he's going to be able to wear the stars and stripes, but he's got to know in the back of his head, like if either one of those guys shows up healthy, there's no chance. I mean, if
10 years from now, I don't think we would remember that Wout and MVP weren't there though.
And here's the thing. He may not be able to win it next year. This might be his chance to win it.
Yeah.
I say yes, go for it. Soak up all the glory. Soak up the glory.
Hey, third best in the world at something is pretty good still. Especially if one and two aren't gonna show, then in my opinion, yeah, you're the best. That's how it goes. You won.
Yeah.
So
it'd be funny if he wins it and then he doesn't even ever get to wear the world championship jersey because he doesn't do any cyclocross next year because he's focusing on monument.
Well, now he would have to. Funnier. Yeah.
So, do you guys think he's a shoe-in to win, or do you think Ellie Isbritt or Tunerts would come in?
It depends on what the course is going to look like. If it's a really muddy day, that's going to spell trouble for Pidcock because the time that he lost to him was when it was a very, very muddy day.
So Rob Dyrdek is worth just a little over $100 billion. Million,
we're all
100 million.
100 million. Good, I thought it was more than that, but still,
good
so
for him.
Technically, I won
so much money.
I don't know anything.
Guy's 47 years old.
He's 47.
47.
Oh my god,
skateboarder.
Gosh.
Come on,
that is good for him. Makes me feel not young anymore. 47.
Yeah,
oh man,
start a production company that produces one of the biggest shows on cable television. You're going to be worth some money.
Yeah,
worth a few bucks, and he's got a golden touch when it comes to business.
He
gets into a lot of business deals, and he's just a goal driven guy that knows how to get it done. So
just people from Ohio.
Isn't DC Shoes? Doesn't he own DC Shoes?
He was sponsored by DC for a long time. I would love to know if he's actually worked his way into ownership in one way. But originally, that was just one of his shoe sponsors when he was a pro skater.
Okay.
Right on. Cool. So are we done answering that question, Lance? Did everybody answer to your satisfaction?
Mm-hmm.
You can be finished with me now. Move on.
Matt, you want to go or are you still working on a question?
I'm just kind of working on a question, but I've got an idea for something. If Wahoo were to release a new bike computer, say the new Roam, or Garmin were to release two new bike computers, the 540 and the 840, what features could they add that would make them compelling for you to dump whatever you have now and pick up something new?
That's a really good question. I'm going to let Evan start because he's Mr. Technology over here.
Evan's Mr. Tech.
Okay, no, I'm a good answer to this because I will just keep the same things for very long periods of time until I decide that they are completely inept now.
Thing.
So honestly, the this is no lie. My answer is the features that the bike computers offer now are complete to everything I need. Price drop would be literally the only reason that I'd buy a new computer.
Yeah, I love price drop.
Price drop.
So right now you're on the Bolt. The first version,
it's
not
great.
The new Bolt.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, it's good. It's very good.
About you, Lance.
Well, the two big things I want to see on Wahoo are Trail Forks integration and Climb Pro.
Correct.
Yeah.
Those are the two things I would love to see on Wahoo. I got to tell you, if the new Roam came out, it would have to really blow away the V2 of the Bolt because it's smaller and more streamlined than the Roam for me to want to buy it.
But it's always been geared towards, the Roam's always supposed to be geared towards people that are out adventuring, going longer.
Yeah, good point.
Doing,
maybe. Needing longer battery life too.
It should have longer battery life.
Which is that always going to mean a little bit bigger computer? I mean, if you're talking
it's supposed
big
to be bigger.
Time increases in battery life. Yeah.
It's supposed to be bigger. I think it's supposed to, I mean, I think that that's where they want to have their product line. I think they want to have a smaller device and a bigger device. You pick which one works for you.
Yep.
And the bigger one's going to have better battery life, better screen maybe, you know, blah, 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 blah. And so I think that that's what they're going to continue with. But why would you upgrade? you know, why would you mm-hmm. jump ship? What features?
I've got like a small list of features that I would like to see. Just way more precise GPS connectivity. Being able to have like GPS that you know is like 100% spot on, because you can, you know, have it skewed mm-hmm. by a million different things for different reasons and it'll jump up. But I mean, for the most part, they're pretty stinking accurate.
Would you say like times when you go by tall buildings or thick forest or
yeah,
bridges and places,
sometimes
like
cloudy
that.
Days or whatever it is that's going to cause it to, a lot of times it's like when I'm riding back through Lacamas Park.
Yep.
It's very forested, thick forest stuff back there. The Garmin was really bad. It would just auto-pause. I'm riding, I'm cruising along, and it would auto-pause for no reason. Or if I was running my Garmin and then I wanted to kind of test it, I would run my iPhone to see what that would pick up by using Strava. And I'd come back and doing a 20-mile ride, they'd be off by like a mile to mile and a half and less. And
do you ever compare it to your watch? I'm just curious.
I've never done it to the watch.
So my Forerunner, my Garmin, whenever I would run Leif Erikson, so this wasn't even deep into Forest Park. It was just Leif Erikson.
Yeah.
We're talking a mile at least off in a 12-mile run. Gotcha. I mean, like it would jump from, I would do a 350 mile to a 15-minute mile. Yeah. I don't know.
That's your old one, not your new one.
Old one, not
you should
this
test
one.
Test your new one and see if
I
you
need
have
to.
Better
Actually,
results.
I think pretty soon we're going to get the Forest Park.
It's a different GPS chip.
I'd be really interested to see if it's a lot closer. So
better connectivity there would be cool. I know that this sounds kind of hokey, and a lot of people are going to be like, eh, whatever. But we at my house, we use the whole Alexa network, and it works pretty stinking well. Like Alexa runs circles around Siri all day long.
Really?
I'll take Alexa. It's just infinitely better
than Siri. Do you hear that right now?
I yell at Siri all the time. She's a dumpster fire.
Siri just sent me a text and she's really
right
butthurt about that.
But I think it would be kind of nice to be able to communicate with your device in some way, shape, or form and have it communicate with you through Audible, whatever. I mean, I use my Aftershocks and it'd be kind of cool if it connected to that and would talk back to me like, hey, you're this far through whatever without having to look down, something
that,
like that. Or if
that
I could,
actually
like,
probably is the next stuff coming around.
That could be neat.
Brighton has this thing where you can search, you can say like, I want to go to Evan's house or whatever. Yeah. It doesn't know Evan's house. And then you look at it and it doesn't work for a while and it continues to not work.
Yeah.
But they do have the idea. They do have the idea of like voice activated.
There's only one major flaw with that is that as cyclists, we are not mature enough to handle that technology on group rides where we would just be yelling at each other's computers.
When I'm on my house with Alexa, it knows my voice and it knows how to differentiate between my voice and my daughter's voice, my wife's voice, my other daughter, my son. It knows all of our noises. Like you walk in there and say, Alexa, tell me, who is this? Who is talking to you right now? And I'll say, oh, you're Jake.
Yeah.
It knows your voice.
Guys,
profile.
I just saw Matrix Resurrection last night.
Yeah.
This is a really scary conversation right now. So so here's my next hot seat question. How many years are we away from basically the Matrix being reality? Mm. How many years? this can be our less than 60-second hot seat question. Go, Matt.
Five. Go.
Okay, Lance, go.
50.
50. Jake, go.
10.
10.
I thought that movie was so bad. The new Matrix.
I thought it was good.
I'm glad
I thought it was still
it,
good. It wasn't that. And I was a Matrix fan. It wasn't as bad as everybody was saying.
I made my
kids
watch all the Matrix before that one, and then we watched that one, and we're like, oh, that's sad.
It very much respected the originals,
it did.
Though.
It was like this. At first, I thought it was good because it was like this homage to the old one, and I was like, that's kind of fun.
It basically set it up for them to go through another one. They'll go through another trilogy.
You think?
Yeah. They set up for another one.
Okay.
One last thing. I like to ride with cameras on my bike. I like to have the GoPro on there and having some sort of integration so that you can start and stop
or see what it's doing or what frame per
second you're running, or if you want to switch to time lapse without having to stop and look at that or see how much battery life is left. Something along those lines would be pretty cool. And Garmin, if you're listening to me, damn it, put a camera in your Varia radar.
Yeah.
Do that.
It's a no-brainer. Yeah. So I don't know that they'll do that. I think that they did.
Well, they've got the Verb. I mean, they kind of shut that down a little bit.
If you're shutting down that whole system, I don't know if it makes sense. I mean, I do think that they should do.
What if like GoPro and Garmin had a relationship or something?
I think a camera inside that particular product makes a lot of sense, just because you do the same thing where you have basically continuous looping video and you have your card and if there's some sort of situation, you have that recording.
Yeah.
And then being able to control it from your top computer would be great. I know that there's APIs for controlling your GoPro too.
Oh, really?
So Koros does this. You can control a GoPro or the Insta360 from your watch. Mm-hmm. Super, I mean, it's weird. Like, how often do you need to do that? Like, control a GoPro from your watch? Very rarely.
If you're Matt LeBrand and running the trails, so that's basically
like, I'm the only, they targeted that feature towards me.
Yeah.
But like, so the APIs are there, meaning that they should be able to make that happen. It would just be a matter of developing it.
Yeah.
So it'd be interesting.
Those are a couple things for me.
Yeah. I could see Garmin doing some LTE stuff because they've done it with one of their watches. And so, you know, emergency, you're in a crash, whatever kind of services.
You're Mr. Sports Tech YouTuber guy.
Yeah.
You know all the flashy people. You're in that little crowd. What do you want to see?
I really liked your guys' ideas. Love to see the price drop. I'd love to see some sort of, you know, video integration.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Would love to see voice. I think that's more of a long shot because I think it's not in Garmin or Wahoo's wheelhouse.
But how nice would it be just to tell your computer, like, great. Hey, computer, load this route for me today. And it's going to go through all of your routes instead of, because I've got like, no joke, I've got like 50 routes that are loaded in Garmin Strava that I use. And then you have to scroll and scroll and scroll. Yeah. And I generally know what the names of them are. Yeah. Like, hey, go find this route and load it for me.
That'd be great.
Here you go, Jake.
Yeah.
It's a technology that Garmin hasn't explored yet. So it's a big ask. Right, so
usually on that wave, man. That's the wave of the future, right there. It's the Matrix.
You know what?
It's the Matrix.
I would love to see solar on a bike computer.
Oh, that'd be fantastic too.
I just think it's like a it seems like a no brainer.
Yeah,
it seems like they should do that. USB-C is just like that's gonna happen. Like that's just such a
It's on the Bolt V2.
It is right. Yeah, yeah.
But that's it.
It should be on the Roam. It's on Hammerhead Karoo. It should be on the next Roam if they make a new Roam. It'll be. I would think that Garmin would put it on their next set of computers if they make those.
Sure.
So, yeah. Little things like that for sure. But solar would be pretty cool, I think.
There's been some pretty big quantum leaps in that whole arena over the last 5 years. Do you think we'll see as many leaps in the next 5 years? Do you think we'll be able
to... solar?
Not just solar, just all of the you know, the trends and the things that they've been adding to these units in terms of how fast the processors work, the things that they do and how accurate they are and the information that it can provide you and the fact that it doesn't necessarily crash now. I mean,
I think I'm too close. Well. I think I'm too close to it to know if there's like big jumps or small jumps.
Yeah.
Because I think that there are certain things that I think they'll do. I think they'll do a dual GPS chips, which should give you more accurate GPS, but at the expense of battery life. I do think that they could do solar. I do think that they could do certain things. I just don't know if those are big jumps in technology or small jumps.
I just know we have a juniors program here, and people donate stuff for the juniors to have all of the time, which is fantastic.
Which is super nice.
It's super cool. Somebody brought in a Garmin 510. And that's not too old. I mean, that's just a couple of iterations old. You pick it up and that thing feels old and clunky. But then I'm thinking back to that. And I think that was like the first iteration where you could start to get some of the Strava live segments. Mm. I mean, that's a pretty cool little feature that you can use there. But even that and how it like worked and the information that it would show you was still
so
like
slow.
So slow. So if you just kind of go back to like the 500 or the 510 and just look at what they've done since then. There's been a lot of innovation and things that have happened in that time
period.
Yeah,
but it takes time. I mean, how old is the 530? Even the 530 is like...
It's 2 years old-ish.
Two and a half years old.
Something
so
like
this
that,
will be three if they do one next year.
Sure.
Which is 3 years is a long time.
Yeah.
I don't know what the... Mm-hmm. I guess I don't know what product cycle is. Like your Apple Watch is every year there's going to be a new Apple Watch. And I don't think that's going to be the same for bike computers. But maybe it would be.
Yeah. Do you think bike computers will get smaller with... Or we'll say thinner, not necessarily smaller. Because you still kind of want a little bit of that screen. Does it make sense for them to get thinner, lighter weight, more aero?
I think it comes down to, you know, what are people looking to purchase? I think Wahoo kind of pulled the, this is an aero bike computer card. And I don't know how well that went over. I think that a lot of people don't care.
Gotcha.
Probably the majority of people don't care.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Like, I don't even care on my road bike. On my road bike.
If anything, I think they might get bigger.
Really?
I don't know.
I mean, I could see more real estate for the screen, but I think the actual thickness of
could
the unit
down.
Could slim down a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just make it a little bit more like a little mini phone.
Just getting wider, but thinner.
I know.
As you
like
go.
A phone.
Yeah.
More foiled shape.
And that would be kind of cool, too, if, like, you could actually make phone calls from it, too. I mean, you've talked about that.
LTE services.
Having LTE in there. Like, if you're out in the middle of nowhere, or even, like, the satellite services, like the InReach Mini.
Yeah.
That would be kind of a neat little feature to be
safer
built
than
with.
People Lance, grabbing for
Lance
their
would need
on the
it.
Bike.
Well, in all of that, here's the thing about that for Garmin is, like, that's monthly subscription services, and that's definitely what they want. They want that recurring income. They don't want you just to buy it one time.
Yep.
Like, Evan, you're the worst, right? You buy something, you keep it for 10 years.
Oh, I'm a nightmare customer for anybody for when it comes for...
Yeah, send the mothership some money, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Be kind of cool to see some InReach stuff there. That InReach thing has been wildly popular with them. I was talking with them. And that
really?
Over the past couple of years, they've seen a huge spike in that, and there may or may not be a 2 coming out here pretty soon.
Ooh.
But
Every like backcountry guide or like river company, they all have them.
Yeah.
They all have them.
And
because you can be out of service and it will connect to the satellite and send a message.
Yep.
That's awesome. I wonder if Elon Musk's satellite system could come into connection with the base stations are really big that he has for his stuff. But I'm just wondering, could a satellite phone that works on his network be, because it's lower latency, would it be almost like a cell phone? It would be interesting to see if that ever goes anywhere.
Cool. We'll see. Evan.
All right. So this is going off of a recent Dylan Johnson video that came out talking about
Friend of the podcast.
Friend of the podcast, close friend of mine. Yeah. Talked to him once. So there's during your off seasons, and this is from a coaching perspective, I really like to nerd out on the research he looks into. So I'll be adding a little bit of background into this too. But during your off season, do you see benefit in what he was discussing in this video, which is intervals, structured intervals during off season, which is historically, at least in the cycling world, generally base, quote unquote, base building season. For anybody who knows what base means, usually means zone 1-2, or if you're off a 3-zone system, LT1. So,
Evan. False. There is no off season.
Thank you. Correct answer, Matt. Off seasons are overrated. Correct.
So I just want to be clear about the question.
Yes.
Should you be doing intervals at all during your off season?
Yes.
I haven't looked at any research. I don't know. But I like the idea of...
No, but you're an experienced endurance athlete and coach. So you know. Yeah.
I think sprinkling in some hard efforts. I think here's my theory on off season is it's more of a mental necessity to take a break. Like what you're doing where you're like, I'm going to hop in a 10K and try and go fast. Like that is a workout, right?
Yeah, and
it's not like your off season is I'm going to do, I think if you just do absolutely nothing, there's triathletes that do that, and that's great, that's fine. I think you can do that for a very short amount of time. I don't think you want to do it for too long.
It depends on what your goals are.
But but mentally, if you're like, it's fun for me to do those Tuesday night, 5K park runs, then those are great. Or, Tuesday night Zwift rides with our team, those aren't really workouts, but they're kind of fun, hard efforts.
Yep.
Mentally, I don't think that that's as taxing, and I think that's what I would encourage people to do for an off season. Less structured workouts, if that makes sense.
So I think that still goes under yes to intervals because I completely agree with you from a coaching perspective is the structured intervals get mentally fatiguing.
Yes, exactly.
Fun intervals like Tuesday night Zwift rides, mountain bike rides. Yep. Anybody who thinks they're not doing intervals on a mountain bike ride is kidding themselves. I've now done three in my life. And I can promise
you. You're kind of a mountain bike pro at this point.
I basically have done 3 rides. I'm going to win level next year. But this is...
How is the mountain biking going?
It's going great.
Where did you ride? Did you go ride Round Lake?
I've done 3 rides with it. No. It's done locally. I did some messing around in Fort Vancouver and ride over Silver Star.
All right, come ride with me.
Fort Vancouver area.
Exactly, right?
If you want to be... If you want a real good laugh, you come ride with me.
Oh, we're going to Round Lake.
Come just to watch.
This will be fun.
It'll be... Yeah, you're going to want...
Evan and
you're
Matt
gonna want
take
a drone.
Take
you're going to want
round
have a drone.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll just ride some easy stuff.
Two experts. Let's not take try it to Round Lake.
Experts. Triathletes ride mountain bikes.
Yes.
That would be such an awesome video.
Yes.
Lance, I think Lance's answer has got to be, well, I've seen your training lately, so.
It's only 52-week training.
Okay, program. I haven't seen Dylan's video, but, I mean, it depends on what you call an off-season, because I take an off-season where I take about a month where I don't do anything structured, but I still ride almost every day,
Yeah, exactly.
I still almost ride every day and I enjoy it. But right after that, I mean, after that month long off season, I start the first couple weeks with some sweet spot intervals. And just after a couple weeks, I'll start doing CO2 work, just to kind of, so my muscles don't just forget what it's all about.
Yep. No, I think that's actually a good way to put it. Yeah.
I mean, here we are in January, and last week I actually did two very difficult interval workouts, both of which I failed, you know? Ooh. And so, which is also okay to do. I mean, I got through like one of the workouts, I got through like 70% of it, and the other I got through like 95% of it. But I, you know, if you really look at the intervals, I actually ended up failing the intervals because it was too hard for me to do. And I didn't do that until after I'd already been like sweet spot training more or less for a month. And then I kind of rolled into this, let's go a little bit harder. So I think you need a month off or a few weeks off, and then you need some structure.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I just, from personal experience, like I remember when I first started doing more structured stuff, and it was pretty much coming off of mountain bike racing and getting into the road riding to start mm-hmm. training. And I was just having so much bike fun on my bike, riding all the time. And you hear a lot of people like, it's base season. You got to go easy. Just zone two. Da, 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 da. And I'm like, that's not fun. I'm going to go out and still, I'm going to do at least mm-hmm. a ride or two a week where I'm going to get after it a little bit just because I'm having so much fun doing it. And I finished my first like full year of training on the road to get faster on the mountain. And I came out of it and I'm like, I'm not flat like all of you guys, you know, yep. said I was going to feel. I feel pretty good right now. As a matter of fact, I got faster. You didn't. Yep. And so I repeated yep. that again the next year. Same thing happened. I got even faster. They didn't.
Yeah.
And I started thinking to myself, well, now I totally get it that you can't stay sharp all year long. And you're not yep. going to be right. at the pointy end of the spear all day. You're not going to be at your A-race shape all year long. But you can still do the stuff in the off season and come out of the backside and be fine. And I yep. did that from about 2011-ish until to just today, you know.
Yeah.
And from 2011 to 2018, I did a ton of development on the road side of things yeah. and got to a higher level, you know, yeah. racing on the
and
road.
Very and little plateau during that time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you're still having like little ups and yeah. downs.
Natural undulations of the season.
Exactly. Yeah. But for me, it made all the sense in the world to stick to that. Now, that's not to say that that works for every single person, because I think yeah. every person's built a little bit differently.
Absolutely.
You need to have yeah. different stresses put on your body, and your body's going to recover a little bit different. You've got different muscle fiber types and all that other mm-hmm. fun stuff. But for me, that worked out really well. So what he was saying resonated with me. I'm like, yep, that works. Yeah. And I know that because I did it for a lot of years.
Yeah. And I think the cool thing about Dylan's video too is he shows Dylan was recanting on a previous video mm-hmm. where he was talking about the importance in historical research of base building phase.
Sure.
And a full off season. Now, he references when he's talking about full off seasons, this is something that I will disagree with him on, because he was talking about how it should be required for all endurance athletes to take a 2-3 week off season. The research he was pointing to was done on elite professional cyclists.
Mm. Yeah.
So
yeah.
here's the difference. He was talking about hemoglobin and hematocrit drops in that population. You're also talking about a group that very well could have been doping during that time.
That's a good point.
So here's the thing with that, and this is where the
combination of overtraining.
Yes,
and
exactly. So
and drugs.
That's
right?
And that's a big thing is drugs and overtraining. Absolutely, you need an off season because your system is beyond its capacity. So, and this is why I've been telling people I coach.
And
because,
people like cycle steroids and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't yeah, really so know that much about it, but I mean,
we're talking
I'm
about
drugs right now.
Massively compromised research. Yeah. Massively. And also, this was long periods of research of only cyclists.
And
so
it was elite cyclists at the Grand Tour level or something?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
who
we're
knows?
Talking.
We'd have to look at
we're
them.
I
also just don't.
Also, unfortunately, you can't see the actual people that are in studies, but you can assume some of them were probably racing at Grand Tours
it's
or
just,
at least long.
I just have
stages.
A high level of skepticism of sports research sports technology
80s.
Research
exactly.
80s yeah. even
now
I don't actually know because I'm not as close
exactly.
to it as I used to be, but I thought it was really bad in the early
yeah.
2000s.
And this is where some of Dylan's videos, I love watching his videos, and I like to look at what research he's referencing, what era it's from, and who they're researching. Mm-hmm. So that to me, when I was having a discussion with somebody I'm coaching about why I don't prescribe off seasons, I agree with Matt on the mental aspect, but to me, if there's a mental issue, then we shift to just having fun, completely unstructured fun,
yeah.
which is fine.
Yeah.
But actually taking off seasons, I think is you're only doing yourself a disservice.
Sure.
Long term. I really think you're only doing yourself a disservice. Now, Lance says, oh, I took an off season. Lance rode his bike every day. That's not an off season. So the thing is, your typical training endurance athlete is not going to see these massive blood level drops. If you do, go and talk to your doctor, and it's probably something that is related to your training, but there's probably other things going on that you need to, you probably need to just go and have a full talk up with your doctor and
dietary
get that addressed.
Issues. Maybe there's something, maybe it's some sort of vitamin deficiency.
Yeah. But if you are not overtraining, now that looks different for everybody. I'll use myself as an example. Is throughout my entire season, my average comes out to about 18 to 20 hours a week. That is where I float basically all year now. The only thing that changes is the type of intervals that I'm doing, the specificity of them, and the intensity involved there. So right now, I'm definitely not hitting on all cylinders. I'm not even close to hitting on all cylinders right now, even though I'm training around 18 hours a week still. The benefit I see from that is I've seen very little plateau in my triathlon career over the last 8 to 10 years. And I do believe that I'm very much an average, faster guy. I'm nothing special genetically, like absolutely nothing special genetically.
Average pro?
Average pro. Average, I will say average pro. So
your everyday average pro.
Your everyday back of the pack average pro. So I'm not like Joe Skipper, Lionel
Finished
Sanders.
Mid-pack in your last race. Come on, average pro.
We'll be average. We'll be average, which is great.
C+. I saw C+. Lionel shaking when you stepped up to the line.
I think so. That was mostly because he gets really cold in cold water. But yeah,
there's a fear. There's a fear.
Slap him on the ass again.
There's a fear in the eyes.
That was also because I was standing next to Vincent Lewis, who he should be scared of. Yeah. I misinterpret that as me.
It's hard to say.
It was
hard to say.
He was
either
looking at me or
at
Vincent. I'm not sure which. I'm taller, so maybe it was
probably you.
It was probably because he's like, man, this guy's tall. But so. So you're talking about research that he's referencing that was from an era that I don't think carries around to other sports. And the last point I'm making this is to Matt. Think about how runners nowadays train and how fast they're getting.
Yeah.
They don't really do a quote-unquote base-building season. Their winter is indoor track.
True,
I can't think of a less base-building.
The summertime is supposed to be, like if you're looking at like a collegiate athlete, it's supposed to be that's your base-building phase.
It is, but I watched a lot of Cooper Tiers training this last year. The only thing he did with base-building was he did longer tempo runs.
Mm-hmm.
Less high-threshold work. So his training structure was changing throughout the year. He trained different systems throughout the year, but his quote-unquote base-building season was just longer tempo efforts and less 400 repeats. Yeah,
right. It's almost like there's that, and then there's like a sharpening phase.
Exactly. Yeah. There's like your base build should still have it types of intervals. We're talking about you should. People could argue this all day. I really don't think you're going to see much value if you are not capable of training 30 hours a week from just doing zone one, zone two work for like 3 months.
With you on that because I do think that you can get amazing gains just doing zone two work. If
most
you're
of your
undertrained.
There you go. No, I can't. So, that's 100% right there.
The
100% agree with you. Yeah.
That's the majority of people.
You're right. But so, I still think so, even those people need a little, we're talking 90-10 then instead of 80-20. We're talking, you still need a little bit of VO2 work in there.
It'll be helpful.
Just for heart development, like very literally heart development, you need some VO2 work regardless of age. Yeah.
Cool. You ready for mine real quick?
Yeah. We'll go through this
3 minutes. We'll go through this quickly.
Go
hot.
Peter Skahn says he's not done. He says he's got something still in the bank. He's got something up his sleeve. He thinks he's got something to prove still, too, which is great.
I think he probably feels that way after the last season.
I bet he feels that way. Yeah.
If he's going through COVID again right now, too.
He is really?
Round two.
If Sagan has a win left in him, where do you see him getting this win at?
In what is it, Japan that does the crits after the Tour de France?
where they line them up? No, that's in Europe, I think.
No, I thought that was in East Asia somewhere. That's a local group ride, maybe if there's a short sprint,
flogging ride or something,
or on Zwift, maybe in a B group, dolphin sprint type situation.
So Evan says pretty much
no,
not gonna happen.
No.
All right, Matt, what about you?
I think he can. I think he'll win something at the tour. I think he's going
to
win a stage at the tour.
You need to pull that audio.
Press record. Sprint, but it'll probably be a breakaway situation where he gets him with the right mix of guys. He can out sprint. Yeah,
absolutely. Sure.
But he won't be duking it out
in a true sprint.
Cagey and all, but.
No. I think there are certain sprint stages where things get difficult and broken up where you have crosswind situation or whatever, and he can win those.
Yeah.
He can win a lot of races. He's going to win a lot of different things.
He's going to like out sprint like Sepkus or something like that. You know what I mean? It's not going to be like the other big sprint.
He just tore Sepkus' legs off.
So, okay. So Matt's pick is if Sepkus and Peter Sagan get in the same breakaway in the Tour, he's got it in the bag.
No.
As long as there's not a climb anywhere.
I'm on record saying that I think
Sagan wins a Tour stage Sagan in 2022. Wins,
yes.
Okay.
I'm on record.
How about you, Lance?
I say he wins the stage of Paris-Nice.
That's a safe bet. That's soft. That's soft, like Lance.
You know what? He likes the Tour of California. He used to come to the Tour of California all
when
the time.
When there was a Tour of California. When there was a Tour of Utah and a Tour of Colorado.
Yeah, he was great at winning in America.
Yeah.
They're all gone.
I still like Peter a lot. I sure hope he has something left in him.
He has fun on the bike. I think he's great. He's a great guy.
He's good for the sport. He's been awesome for the sport.
But these guys are so fast now. Like Peter 10 years ago was one of the best guys in the peloton. Nowadays, I mean, how many guys in the peloton do you honestly, like, do you think Wout van Aert is like thinking about like sleepless nights about Sagan?
No.
So he would have to win something.
He's worried about MVP.
He would have to win something off of all the other players not making the move.
Which does happen at the Tour.
Yeah, every once in a while.
Cavendish can come back and win
three stages.
Does he
win a classic ever again? Peter Sagan?
Oh, that's going to be tough.
I don't know.
There's no way.
But maybe.
If everybody crashes.
I mean, that's what I was going to say. There's so many crash situations.
It does happen every once in a while.
And Sagan can like stay on the bike somehow. Like we've all seen him do it, right? Like where there's like, how did he, like he biked on that guy's head and somehow still kept up. And he
bunny hopped off somebody's head. Yeah.
It could happen.
It could.
Okay. Next quick question.
I got two more.
We're going to go really, really fast here. Pogacar says he's going to go for the Vuelta and the Tour de France. Does he win one, none, or both?
Both.
Both? One, none, or both, Matt?
I guess I have to say both. He's so good.
Yeah, he's very good.
He's so good. I want to say one, but I've got to say both.
Okay, Lance, one, none, or both?
I say just the Tour.
Just the Tour.
That's what I say.
Yeah,
gotcha.
I will say, you know, he showed up to a cyclocross race in Slovenia and won it, by the way. Yep. I'll just throw that out there.
Yeah, that was pretty fun to watch. I mean,
very good at biking.
I'm going to say one. I think he's going to repeat. He's going to three-peat the Tour. I think so. I don't think he's going to win the Vuelta for some reason.
He'll be tired going to the Vuelta. Yeah.
Possibly.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. All right. Did you say you had another question or you got to get going?
No, I was going to say if you have one more.
Okay. I'll run through the last one.
Yep.
Is there a better cyclist in the world right now than Wout van Aert?
No.
All around. It has to be all things cycling. We're talking about somebody that can time trial, somebody that can climb, somebody that can sprint, somebody that can win in all disciplines. Is there a better cyclist in the world?
So until 2020, until the last 6 months, we would have all said that MVP is the best in the world. If MVP comes back healthy this year, I still think he's better than Wout.
It's possible.
He was for most of their life. I mean, really was. He beat him in a lot of things.
Yeah.
Like Wout had like second place syndrome.
The question is when they're head to head, who wins? When they're actually head to head,
MVP.
Who wins?
Well,
MVP usually wins.
He does.
Just it depends. That Wout does more stuff.
Don't you think it's going to depend on the stage? Do you think MVP is really going to beat Wout in a time trial?
Well,
I don't think so.
No,
he's not going to beat him. He's not going to beat him on. I don't know what else.
Wout kind of changed gears a few years back when MVP wasn't. MVP was just racing cross and starting to dip his toes in the water. But Wout changed gears and he went into more of a role of being like, hey, you're going to serve this team and this is going to be the person that's going to be the GC person. Yeah. And your job is to help said person.
I think Paris-Roubaix will answer this question. I think whoever wins Paris-Roubaix is king right now.
You think so?
Because I think they're both going
well,
full
we need to have a
Paris-Roubaix fitness.
Party.
We do.
That would be so fun.
Because they're going both full A fitness into that race. Like, that race matters the most to them this year.
You think?
Do you think Vanderpool's as hurt as he says he is right now, or do you think he was just looking for an excuse to get back to training?
I think he's a little sore. Yeah. I think that's it. He's not 100%. Is like, why do I want to waste my time?
We're gonna have bets
absolutely
on Paris
for Paris-Roubaix.
Okay.
This
is gonna be good.
All right, guys, I gotta head out.
Do you want one last thing, real quick.
One last thing. This weekend, I'm actually going to LA to get some sun.
Good for you, dude.
I'm never somebody who would ever say that and be like, going to Cali
LA,
for some sun.
Keep going south. Go to Orange County or San Diego. Just,
well, it's because Cassie's aunt's going to be there and we're going to go see her. And,
good.
Yeah, have fun.
All right, go find me.
So we're
going to
rent bikes and we're going to ride around where like Phil Guymon rides.
Be careful, man. The traffic.
Well, we're trying to find some of the less traffic. David knows that area pretty well. Yeah, so we're taking. So David's kind of guiding us.
The climbing in Malibu is just world class.
Yeah,
that's awesome. That's what we're looking for. The roads are fantastic. Oh,
yeah.
I'm looking forward to it. Well, it'll be 2 days and then we're back, so it'll be fun.
Sweet.
All right,
have
guys.
Fun. Be safe. When talk to you soon.
Friday.
All right, have a good trip, dude.
Monday morning. Yep.
All right, see you, Evan.
See ya.
Matt, one last thing, bud.
I am really close to 10,000 subscribers on my YouTube channel.
Dang it, that was my one last thing.
Was it? Okay, hold on. I can come up with something else.
Matt was at, he's at 9.96K, so he's so stinking close to hitting that 10K mark, so good on you, bud.
I need a decent video to go out, and then that would probably do it, so.
Proud of you, dude.
Thank you.
You are, we were talking about this before the podcast, too. You're doing good stuff, Matt.
Burnt out.
Be honest, are people reaching out to you wanting to do stuff for them? Is anybody wanting you to make anything professionally for them?
Yes.
You want to share any of that with us?
I'm saying no. I tell people no.
You tell people no, huh?
Yeah, I can't take on any more work. I am maxed out. In fact, I need to have a conversation with Nike and be like, yeah, I, because they,
the I'm price on, went I'm up, on Nike. Pro, I'm on, the price
yeah,
went
I
up.
I would like to raise prices for Nike, and not that I work for Nike, who knows where I work, but like, it's just I'm on two projects, which is perfect, but it's a lot.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I want to put a video out this week, and I'm like, how am I going to get that out? Like, I'm looking at my week schedule, I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to fit it in.
Yeah.
So, we'll see.
Wish I could help you, bud. If you ever need help, though, don't hesitate for a second to ask.
I want to do stuff with the two, because I just think I guess the three of us, now that Evan's gone because he's a mess, but like the three of us can just do. There's so much fun stuff that I want to do. Like a lot. I just have idea after idea. There's no shortage of ideas for videos.
That Mavic 3, that thing's paying some good dividends for you in the picture department.
Oh yeah,
taking some beauties. Yeah, those are nice.
Higher megapixel camera. I mean, it's kind of a lot of the same photos that I have been taking forever. But
yeah, but just the picture quality is fantastic.
It's just
and,
so fun
you know,
to...
Mother Nature's been delivering, too. Some beautiful sunsets
it's
and some
been
really
rainy.
Cool... Well, when the sun
when
is
it
out...
breaks, though.
It's been beautiful. You get these little foggy, like, you know, canyons or valleys or whatever. Yeah. It's just beautiful.
I don't know if I have something on my... I have a whole bunch of stuff that I never post, and I'll just
I bet.
Show you stuff.
I've
but like,
got stuff all over the place, too.
But. Yeah. I have a little short video that I was going to post to Instagram. Follow me on Instagram. One last thing. Follow me on Instagram.
You've got a couple Instagram accounts. Why don't you put those out there real quick?
Instagram.com/Matt_LeGrand. That's my main Instagram account. The other one that I've been posting to is Lacamas Lake. If you search for that, it's just a lake in Camas, Washington, and I like to highlight it with photos. Yep. So
if you've got a really good arm and you're standing at Matt's house, you can almost throw a rock into the lake. Which doesn't feel like you should be able to, but it's just a big slope that goes down.
Huge downhill. Yeah. It's a quarter mile downhill, but it's perfect.
Nice. Hey, Lance, you got one last thing for us?
As of this moment, I still do not have a notification that my bike has arrived. And so I may be
rental?
Spending the week with my feet up instead. I don't know.
This is like a forced off season for you. Forced break.
First break. That's so good.
I called Johnny over
that's
at
all I got.
Alaska Airlines and told him to just hold it because Lance
Johnny.
Needs some time. Yeah. Johnny's like,
come on, Johnny.
I'm on it.
Oh, is it the one with the air tags? No, he has no air tags. All right. I'll hold it.
Send back to Portland. So very cool.
You got one last thing?
My one last thing is the lab is coming along quite nicely.
Yeah.
We've got a couple last little things to do, and I am getting really close to having the space set up here to do a couple new videos for our YouTube channel. So hopefully, fingers crossed, sooner than later, we'll have a few more videos because it's been a minute since I've posted anything up to our YouTube channel. As a matter of fact, I think it's been since October. So that's way too long, but we've been way too busy.
You have been busy.
Yeah. When Lance gets back, we'll have some stuff set up here. We'll start filming some more videos and we will hopefully get some information out there for you guys to watch. Should be fun.
That's awesome.
Cool.
Yeah, I think we're getting close to 2,000 subscribers. And
really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
We're still getting a lot of views and all that other stuff on some of the videos that we've put up, which has been pretty cool. But not posting anything up in 3 months is not good for driving
still,
those analytics up. So
the combination between you and Lance is just a good combo. People like it. People
fun.
Are going to subscribe.
Yeah. We've got to have you come on, too, when you've got like
absolutely.
30 seconds to join us.
I'm in. I'd love to.
Awesome. I think that's it. Anything else, you guys?
Is it?
No? Lance, you still there? All right. Hey,
I'm still here.
Yep. Enjoy your time in your hammock and wearing your banana hammock Don't show the world that too much. So we do appreciate everybody listening. We will be back next week for another podcast. Until then, bye for now.